Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as shrewd as serpents and as simple as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and before the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking within you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the other. Amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Continue to ponder Jesus' instructions to the 12 as he was sending them out to continue his mission. And what the Lord Jesus said to them, he says to us, his disciples, called to be apostles by baptism and confirmation in every age. Seems a little strange at first. The Good Shepherd, who laid down his life in order to save the lives of his sheep, said, "Behold, I'm sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves." It would be like a parent saying to a young infant, "Go out and play in that playground. There are a lot of pedophiles there." It would be like sending your own pure girl into a prison full of men with no guards to protect you. It seems so utterly strange that the Good Shepherd would send his sheep out in the midst of wolves. Now, if that was just a metaphor to just toughen them up, it would be one thing. But then Jesus said, "They will hand you over to courts. They'll scourge you in houses of worship. You'll be led by governors and kings as a witness. You will be hated by all because of my name. Your brothers and sisters will betray you. Your parents will betray you. Your kids will betray you. They'll persecute you in one town and then in the next. Don't you feel the love?" Why would he do this? Why would the Good Shepherd send us out as lambs in the midst of wolves? Precisely because he loves us. And a lot of the times we have a soft teddy bear version of the way the Good Shepherd loves us. And he loves us for real. What's the Lord Jesus' goal as Good Shepherd? To conform us to his image. And everything Jesus describes here that would happen to his followers as he sent them out was going to happen literally to him. This was going to be a means by which each of us would have a chance to be configured to him. He was a Lamb of God sent in the midst of the Sanhedrin, as well as Herod and Pontius Pilate. He was handed over to the civic arm. He was scourged in the court of the Sanhedrin and the high priest, Annas. He was led before the leaders. He was hated by so many. He was in fact betrayed by his cousins. He was betrayed by us, his brothers and sisters in sin. And he wanted us to have a share in his power of redemption. What's this all about? When we are in these circumstances, it is the opportunity for us to be totally conformed to Jesus. We prayed in the opening prayer, "Clothe us, O Lord, in the virtues of the heart of your Son, so that aflame with his love and conformed to his image, we might merit a share in his redemption, not just as something that we would then receive conformed to his image and clothed in his virtues, but something that we could share in the redemption, his redemption of the entire human race, he would give us a share of through the love that beat in that heart. And so, when we are betrayed to courts, scourged in houses of worship, when we're led before governors and kings, there's a purpose. Jesus describes it clearly, as a witness before them and the pagans. That's going to be our greatest pulpit, because it's at that time that the Lord's going to conform us to him most. When they hand you over, and that word hand over is the word betray. It's the exact same word where Jesus hands over himself in the Eucharist. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You shall be given at that moment what you are to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. All of these persecutions, all of these hardships will be a means in which we give up our self-dependence and we totally open ourselves up to the Lord so that the Lord can truly act. This is going to be the time of greatest spiritual filiation. It's not just God will be speaking through you, but it's the Spirit of not my Father speaking through, even though that would obviously be true, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. It'll be the honing of divine filiation. It'll be the creation of a new foundation for our life. Jesus was saying, your blood relations are all going to betray you. But this will be an opportunity for you to have this greater grounds. Throughout this week in the first reading, we've been hearing from the book of Genesis about the betrayal of Joseph and how the Lord used it precisely in order to save his people. Even though they had those familial bonds still led to a terrible betrayal. But God was able to use it. The one area where there was no betrayal is where we see the climax today. Jacob's love for Joseph and Joseph's love for Jacob. And the reason why that was distinguished from the lack of horizontal love that would even lead to killing was because Joseph and Jacob both really worshipped the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. They were on the same stage of adhesion to the Lord who had revealed himself, whereas the others were framing their references elsewhere. Because of this, Jesus tells us at the beginning, as he sends us as sheep in the midst of wolves who are going to try to tear us apart, that we need to be as shrewd as serpents and as simple, as pure, as single-minded as doves. Shrewd as serpents. What does that mean? That we know it's coming. That like Jesus, we don't walk into it with a martyr's complex. Jesus himself would say over and over again, my hour has not yet come. And then he would leave until his hour had in fact come. He wants us to be shrewd in that same way. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. You will not finish the towns in Israel before the Son of Man comes. What does that mean? It's not a prediction of the second coming. It's a prediction of the kingdom of God. It won't be fleeing all over the place before certain people get it and they accept the kingdom and they hear the witness you are giving before them and the pagans of the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is how the martyrs have always converted. Be as shrewd as serpents and as pure single-minded as doves to keep our real focus on the Lord. Christianity is challenging. Jesus is very clear that there's going to be a cost to our discipleship, and we should never pretend otherwise. You know, there have been various generals over the course of centuries who have said to their soldiers, all that I'm promising, I'm not promising you a big salary, we may have nothing to give you. I'm not promising an easy life, I'm promising you a lot of suffering, hunger, pain, casualty, and even death. That's what you're signing up for. But if we win, this is what's going to come to you, this is what's going to come to your families, this is what's going to come to our nation. Jesus is very clear about the cost. But it's in this good fight that we fight for him and with him that he's really going to come to the surface. That we will be conformed with the virtues of the heart of Jesus. That we will become inflamed with his love and conformed to his image as we participate in his redeeming of the world. Let us ask the Lord to strengthen us from his heart with the gift of this courage so that we might carry out this task today. Not speaking our words, but so conformed in communion with Jesus, we will speak the words of the Spirit of the Father, who is about to hover this altar and change bread and wine into Jesus, and then change a priest and a bunch of dear brides of Christ into Jesus' own body. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.